a warm welcome to you today from the warm heart of a down-home gal somewhere in the heart of America. Now, if that doesn't warm you up, then I don't know what will. The name of this show is Prepare for Freedom, and my name is Sharon. You can find me online at www.prepareforfreedom.com and on Facebook at www.q4d.net. That's www.q as in Quebec, 4 as in number 4, d as in delta, .net, q4d.net. Now, let me introduce you to my co-host and Two Cents producer, David. Say hello, David.
Well, hello there, everybody. I hope you're having a great day today.
As you can see, he's raring to go for another show. You'll be hearing more from him shortly, as David loves to put in his two cents worth. That's why he's my official two cents producer. Listen to David long enough and keep adding up those two cents, and you will soon be rich. Now, on to the topic of the day, one last chance. That sounds kind of scary, doesn't it, David?
Yes, it does.
What do you think we're talking about, one last chance?
Well, this is the last chance you've got in life is here on this earth. You've got to, it's just giving you the last chance. You've got to make it or you're going to not do it. You're going to do great or you're going to fail.
Thank you. And specifically, we're talking today on the subject of addiction. And addiction is the thief of personal freedom, which is why we're talking about it on our show. We're here to talk to you about preparing for freedom in all of its different forms and manifestations and colors and shapes and sizes and any other way you want to call it. And addiction, unfortunately, wears all those different guises. And I want to start by sharing something with you about addiction, something perhaps that you can relate to, and it really doesn't matter what kind of addiction we're talking about here, whether it seems harmful or harmless, it acts the same on you, and let's just go through those steps really quickly. The first thing addiction does is it just invites you, just a friendly invitation. Then it entices you in for just one time. Then it surrounds you with pleasurable feelings that increase your appetite for more until you think you just can't live without it. Sound familiar? Then you are caught in its web. Then, like a spider, it captures you and wraps you strand by strand with its silken cords, just like that spider wraps its prey. That may sound gross, but that's what spiders do, Dave. Have you ever seen it?
Yeah.
It's gross. And after the spider wraps up its prey, what does it do? Have you seen how a spider eats?
Yeah, it devours it. It eats it slowly.
It sucks its insides out. It's gross. So, what that addiction does, after it's got you firmly wrapped and completely imprisoned in its silken strands, then it sucks as much life out of you as it can, and then it tosses you over the cliff. And like I said, it doesn't matter how harmless an addiction may seem, all addictions act in the same way with the same result, which is the loss of your personal what, David?
Freedom.
Thank you. That's right. It's your freedom to act rather than be acted upon. But there is always one final hope. David is a wonderful person to talk to you about buts. I've known David for a while, and I enjoy talking with him because we'll get into some deep subject, and he'll say, "You're right, but..." And away we go. And by the time this show is over, perhaps the word but might have another more expanded meaning to you, too. And David is in stitches over there. So we're going to have a good time. Just something to remember. No matter how bad things may seem, no matter how deeply you or a loved one, or in this case even our country, seems to be mired in the depths of an addiction. Our country seems to have a problem with debt addiction. There is always one last chance waiting for you at the bottom of the cliff, if you will take it. Now, I'd like to start with talking about this from the standpoint of my experience first. I'm going to talk about a rather unpleasant subject, but a very timely one given the fact that our country just went through what was called an extension of its debt ceiling. Now, that's a really nice term for a way of describing what you might call extending the time of their addiction a little bit longer. What kind of addiction are we talking about here? Debt addiction. And it isn't just something that our country is doing, that the powers that govern our country are doing. It's something that we as Americans have unfortunately been doing for a long, long time. And I'd like to call your attention to an article that was written by a very good friend of mine several years ago. I'm just going to bring it up here and share a little bit of that with you. It was written in 2004, just a few years, 4 years to be exact, before what we call the crash of 2008. And he had some very simple advice then, and I invite you to go to www.prepareforfreedom.com to read the entire article. But I'm going to share just a little bit of it with you today, keeping in mind that this was written in 2004, so any numbers that you hear here are much worse in 2011. The gentleman's name who wrote this article, his name is Joe Tye, also known as America's Values Coach. And like I say, I consider him a friend as well. He helped me with his very timely advice through a lot of difficult experiences of my own having to do with life in general and also debt to some degree. Let me share with you a little bit of what he has to say here. He says, "I am seriously alarmed." This is 2004 when everything is rolling along, it's roses and lollipops, and the real estate boom is booming. He says this, "I am seriously alarmed by the implications of what Robert Manning, in the subtitle to his book Credit Card Nation, calls America's addiction to credit. Here are some sobering facts. The typical American household, keeping in mind this is 2003, has nearly $9,000 in credit card debt spread across an average of 10 different cards." David's eyebrows just went up. I hope yours did too. "This typical family pays over $1,000 per year in interest and finance charges on that debt. As one financial expert put it, people are spending money they don't have to buy things they don't need to impress people they don't know. Now, adjusted for inflation, the average family's total debt increased by 46%. Between 1990 and 2003. How much do you think it has increased since then? I don't think it has gone down. I think the percentage of debt as a percentage of income has gone up drastically since that time. And much of this new debt that has been taken on," Mr. Tye nailed it right on the head in 2003. He said, "much of this new debt is in the form of home equity loans taken out to pay off high-interest credit card debt. Unfortunately, many of these people are running up their credit card debt back to the previous levels and are now at increased risk of losing their homes." Wow, have we seen that bunch of chickens come home to roost. Definitely.
Definitely.
And more good news. Not that we want to totally depress you here. We want to get the bad news out of the way first, and we're going to talk about the good news. Our national savings rate, here again, as of 2003, our national savings rate has dropped near zero, which is the lowest in the developed world. So not only are we spending everything we make, we are borrowing to spend even more to the tune of $1.7 trillion. Yes, that is a T, not an M or a B in front of the rillion. You know, back in 2003, the word trillion did not hardly exist in our monetary vocabulary. Now it's an everyday word, and it isn't 1.7 trillion. You can multiply that by about 10 at least. It's pretty scary. And the great tragedy is that compost interest. That's about what it's good for. The great tragedy is that compound interest, which we should have working for us, is now working against us. Isn't that interesting when you think of compost? Because in a way, compound interest is like compost. It can pile up and make a horrible sight in front of your back door or in your backyard, or it can go on your garden and turn into something very useful and help you grow. But too many people are letting the compost pile up instead of dealing with it. My humble opinion. Anyway, there's much more I could read about this, but I invite you to read the article. And the bottom line of it is, pardon the term, is that there really is a simple solution to this. Not an easy solution, but there is a simple solution to this. Not just for ourselves personally, but for our nation as well. If we can first get the message across in our own lives and act upon it, and then send the message through our own example to those around us and to our leaders, there is hope that we can still save this country from its inevitable financial fall. Just a piece of simple advice given by Mr. Mark Rutland. He says, "We must again master the primeval art of waiting on things until we can pay for them. Credit can be a good thing, but its misuse destroys character. It creates a mirage of prosperity, becoming a self-made sword of Damocles. Cars, houses, furniture, and clothing dangle dangerously above the heads of the indebted. If they have no wealth, sooner or later the whole bundle will fall." David, do you remember seeing some videos on YouTube, and I think they were even on television, about people whose homes were foreclosed on? And one of the biggest growing businesses right now is those businesses that basically go up and clean up trash out of houses after they've been foreclosed on.
Yeah, they had that on the news, and I've seen it on TV. People would just pack up their stuff because they knew their houses were being foreclosed and get their personal thing and just disappear and just leave it there. And these other people come in there, they have leave TVs, VCRs, all kinds of furniture and everything like that. They would just get up and move. I mean, they couldn't afford to foreclose their house payment and all like that, so they just took everything and just left in the middle of the night, like a thief in the night.
Right. They couldn't even afford the cost of a moving truck to move all those fancy things they bought out of their homes. And it was amazing to see the possessions, the things that were paid for on credit, piled up on the street. Like David said, plasma TVs, fancy couches, you name it. All kinds of fancy knickknacks, washers, dryers, stereos. Well, let's say stereos too big to move. You know, the small electronics, no doubt they moved out. But anything too big to move in a small vehicle was left behind. What a waste. And there was so much of it, even the poor workers for these different disposition companies, they didn't know what to do with it all. Very sad, but very real. And you know where some of those people are living now, David? We've seen pictures of that, too.
Under bridges.
Under bridges and in tent cities. For real, just like going back to the Depression. Okay, we've spent enough time hitting you with some bad news. Now the good news is there is one last chance. And you might say that the bad news is that for most people, that one last chance doesn't come until they hit bottom. The good news is there is that one last chance. For me, just briefly, I'm just going to share something briefly. My last chance with respect to my own personal financial responsibility took place after I had done kind of a similar thing to what we're describing here. This was back in the late 1980s into the early 1990s. And hey, you weren't anybody unless you had a credit rating. Your worth wasn't measured by how much wealth you had, or at least that's how I understood it. Your true worth was measured by how good a credit rating you had. And then, of course, how you rated with your neighbors was measured by how much stuff you had. So, of course, I bought a house way over my head on payments. I had credit cards. I bought stuff. I bought cars, not one car. I was one person at the time. But I bought not one car, but two cars. One car wasn't enough. You know, have to have one to drive during the week and one on the weekend when I went out camping or whatever it was I did. I'm not meaning to pass judgment on anybody. I'm only speaking about myself here. But I was not taught anything about personal financial responsibility. I thank my parents for all the good stuff they did teach me, but they didn't teach me, and neither did the school system teach me. I had to find out the hard way. So, yes, I went merrily along, and when I maxed out one credit card, it was easy. My credit rating was good. I had a good job. I just went and got another, and on I went, and on I went, and on I went, until one day, all of a sudden, I didn't have a job. And that started things down into free fall. Well, I found a way to become self-employed for a while to kind of ease the pain, and I managed to get another credit card or two in the meantime to kind of handle the bills and get a few cash advances, etc. And I started getting smart and started selling off a little bit of my stuff. But then I made another fatal mistake, which was, since I didn't plan carefully and I didn't save money like I should, I still was spending all that I got. I ran into tax trouble, too. Imagine that. So it wasn't too much longer after that that I started getting some rather, you might say, unfriendly phone calls, not only from creditors, but from the revenue people, too. And, you know, they have a way of being rather persuasive. You know, folks, I suggest that you make sure you are aware of the tax laws and follow them. It's not worth having these people show up at your door. That said, I started into free fall. It didn't take long before I wasn't, not only was I not getting any more credit card offers, I was getting a bunch of nasty phone calls and letters and all that stuff. The bank, after a while, got tired of not getting any payments from me, so they came and took my car. I only had one car at that time. They took my remaining car, and I was really headed towards the bottom, and you know, I was like an addict going, drug addict going through withdrawal. I was miserable. I was in pain. And then I hit bottom. And to give the revenue people credit, they helped me get there. And guess what? At the bottom, there was one last chance. So I took it. For me, that one last chance was bankruptcy. I'm talking about an honest bankruptcy. Mine was a flat-out honest bankruptcy, and I had to earn my way out of it. So I did. And when I got done, 6 months later, I got my head back above water. I was free and clear from all that debt. Let me tell you, I was the most grateful person in the world that I now had a zero credit rating. And I have not looked back since. I am debt-free today. Debt-free, credit-free. I own my own home. My bills are very, very small. I can live on very little and enjoy life to the fullest. And I am very, very, very grateful. So I am grateful for that one last chance that was mating for me at the bottom of the cliff. And now I'm going to turn some time over to David because he's got a story to share with you, too, about his one last chance. Go for it, David.
Thank you very much, Sharon. That was very good, and I appreciate it. Mine is a lot different. It happened several years ago in 2008. I was on top of the world at the time. I was working. I had a nice, everything nice. I was trying to keep up with the Joneses. And I had a girlfriend and all like that. And, you know, everything was going good there for a while. But don't ever think you're going to stay on top of that mountain forever, because somebody named the Lord Jesus will take it from you. Well, he got my attention, and he brought me completely down to earth. I mean, he buried me. I lost everything I had, my job, my girlfriend, every material thing. I was living on the street, basically. I didn't have nothing. I mean, I lost everything. Everybody took everything from me. Nobody cared about when you're down and out, when you're buried so deep that you don't even see daylight. People just look at you and they just walk by you and everything. But I didn't give up. I still had a positive attitude. One day, somehow I was going to get back and do things and do it the right way. Well, when the Lord got my attention and finally I made up my mind and I started thinking more positive, I started building myself back up. Well, my father passed away in 2008 on Thanksgiving Day, so then my stepmom asked me if I wanted to come out here. So I came out here and I had a good positive attitude and all, but I was still a little bitter about some things and all, but I took care of that because I had something to look forward to. So at the same time, I learned, you know, not to give up and all. People can help you out if you want to help, but you have to have a positive attitude. So I started with a great positive attitude and start talking to people, but I never gave up. I never gave up on myself. Once you give up on yourself, you might just bury yourself and die. If this is what you want, then go for it. But I didn't want to go for it. I wanted to get back up on my feet. I wanted to be able to support myself, take care of things, do the right thing, and help people, and try to give people a positive attitude toward life in general and whatever I can do. I still help people out as much as I can. I do some ministry work. And all. I love helping people, but it gave me an opportunity to put my foot forward in a positive attitude and just keep on going. And from this day on, I ain't looked back since. Yes, I have my downfalls, but I still stay in the grace of God and the faith and still walk a narrow, straight line to keep going forward. I don't let nobody tell me that I can't do it. Because you start listening to people, they will put you down. They don't care about you.
What was it you were addicted to, David, you think that took you down? Probably more than one thing.
Well, there was a few things. One of my biggest addictions was getting into debt, borrowing money, buying things that I didn't really need. I wanted them. I didn't need them. I wanted them. And then listen to other people when, you know, I started helping out other people that I thought really needed help, but I couldn't even help my own self sometimes. And that's what really put me there. I got so addicted that I let people start running my life instead of running my life like I should and helping me first. I was helping everybody else out. Hey, it's wonderful to help people out, but help yourself first. Get yourself on solid ground first. And if you can help out other people, do it. If you do it while you're struggling and everything, all you're doing is they're just using you and they're tearing you apart, and you're going to fall back on your right on your butt. I mean, you're going to fall flat on your butt, and it's hard to get back up because you know a lot of people just don't care about you. Once you they just take what they can and they just go on with it. But one of my biggest ones was I was trying to help other people out. I bought things I didn't need. I just wanted them. And when you start putting things more on credit, I had a good credit rating and everything, good job and all. But, hey, you cannot spend money you don't have.
You bring up an interesting point, David, because, you know, there are people that get into a trap that actually – some things that start out as very good things become an addiction to them, and it takes them down. You wanted to help people. Who doesn't want to help people? But anything, even a good thing carried to excess, can become a bad thing, especially when we are letting it control our lives, right?
Right.
And I appreciate your bringing that up. And just heard a little reminder about our time, and we're good with that. I want to just briefly explore another little thing real quick here as we end the show. Another way that we can perhaps break free of our addictions or break free of the temptation to even fall into one before we have to go down that slippery road to the bottom, and that is having to do with examining our priorities. Now, David and I had a talk about that yesterday, And he's got a smile on his face. Now, Dave, I'd like you just to tell me a little bit about what you said yesterday and give us the ending to our show with that very sage advice. Go for it, David.
Well, let's see. Well, we were talking about, you know, some people need to practice what they say. They got to follow their own example. They got to, you know, if you want to do the right thing and all, and you're telling people how to do things, follow your own example. Be a leader. Get your foot out of your butt and do it.
You said it. He said it on air. You heard it, folks, from David first. Get your foot out of your butt.
But you got to, because, you know, think if you are a person who wants to do positive things and you got a vision and a dream, go for it. But don't get so piled up with everything else. Put your ducks in the water. Do what you think is right first, and go for it. I mean, things will work itself out. You just got to have a positive attitude toward the way you're going and let it go. And you're fine with everything else.
Examine what you're doing right now. Is there anything you're doing right now that might be either a borderline addiction or an addiction? Is there anything that's stealing your time and energy right now, or maybe causing you to not have your priorities straight so that you can do what you really would like to do or love to do and would make you happy? Just something to think about as we end this show. And we want to thank you so much for listening in today. I'll turn it over to David for any last words that he might have, and then we will make an end.
Well, I just hope you all have a great day. I hope you all have learned something. Maybe this might be very helpful toward you in life. If you've got dreams, fulfill them. Just don't ever stop and give up when you think you're down and buried. Pick yourself back up. I mean, it's a hard road to hoe, but you can do it.
And it's never too late to prepare for freedom.
That's right. Thank you very much, and I hope you all have a blessed day and enjoy this. And Sharon, I hope you have a great day.
That, you too, and I hope all of you out there have a great day. That's time for us to go. We hope you all enjoyed the show, and we'll see you next week on Prepare for Freedom.